How Not to Sail, sponsored by our lovely Patreon patrons and Latitudes and Attitudes. They ruined my life, so why not let them ruin yours today at latsats.com. The irony about cruising, at least if you're a little ADD like me, is that you can get so focused on your ultimate destination that you fail to appreciate where you are. This moment, even if you're in a sweet place like Marathon Marina. We only get so many moments after all, but with all of our smartphones and cable TV and people texting us and Snapchatting us or whatever, it can be really hard to appreciate this moment. For example, as I'm sailing around South Florida alone, little do I know that in barely over a month, my 89-year-old dad will discover that his wife of 32 years has betrayed him. For 32 years. That he'll almost die, and that I'll be bringing him back to Atlanta to be near me, and try, as his only son, to help him find some happiness. Dad doesn't take much for granted these days, although he is easily distracted by that smartphone. The virus seems to be making people uncontrollably violent. What was I saying? Appreciating the moment. And our story, wherein I was back at the tranquil oasis of Marathon Marina in the Florida Keys after sailing and motoring from St. Pete to Miami. I've traveled 450 miles on the salty water so far, which at 6 knots, or nautical miles per hour, is a lot of hours. As always, I encourage you to start at episode 1. But who am I to tell you what to do? Anyway, as I sit once again in the relaxing saltwater pool at Marathon Marina, I'm pretty content, with a frozen rum runner in hand and the prospect of a couple days' rest. Well, and checking on the cutlass bearing to make sure my prop shaft's not bashing around, and collecting some marina sound effects, and trying to make some more progress on the podcast. Because it's due out now in 8 days. And so far, I have 2 interviews. Now, if you're paying close attention, you might say, but Bradford, I've already heard words from several other folks on your podcast.
Remind me why you're doing this again.
Jason Sales, how about going around, Captain?
Yes, you're definitely not going to be my handler. That's okay.
But as I sit in the pool and sip on a cold beverage, 17 days into my cruise and just 8 days until the podcast release date, hardly any of those interviews have happened yet. I've got the Bob Bitchin interview from episode 1 and the Peter Suarez interview that you heard in episode 2. Of course, I failed to secure an interview at Cabbage Key with Rob Wells or anyone else who could opine on the place. I actually don't even have an interview with Fuel Doc Debbie yet. But you know I've got to make that happen because you heard it in episode 7, right?
I was like, well, what are you hiring for? And they said, Fuel Doc. I said, well, what does that mean? And almost 11 years later, here I am.
The question is when I'll get that interview and how. Regardless, I've just sailed all day down from Matecumbe Harbor, and after some rum runners and dinner at Lazy Days South, it's time for some Z's. After sleeping in till 9 o'clock, I walk down to the fuel dock store for one of my favorite things, coffee. Coffee is an absolute prerequisite for the How Not to Sailor, unless you hate coffee. I've been known to sail nonstop from Gulfport, Florida to the Keys aboard my boat JC Sails, and boy am I glad to have coffee along. That trip's about 200 miles and usually takes about 32 hours. So somewhere along the trip, I may require some coffee.
How you doing?
It's a habit I continue on land. I usually have two or three cups a day while I'm working on things like this podcast.
Morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
I'm getting all meta.
I see that.
One of the first things I do the morning after my re-arrival is mosey into the fuel dock store and say hi to Debbie. I'm excited to share with her how my thoughts about this podcast are coming together.
This will be real meta. So in the podcast, I can have audio of my my attempts to publicize the podcast. Easy for me to say.
Okay, so maybe I'll just stop trying to talk until the coffee starts working and leave some postcards on the counter.
Mind if I leave a couple more of these?
No, that's fine. Absolutely. Yep, there's one right there.
I decide to give Debbie a break just for now, and I head back to JC Sales to record some sounds around there.
Okay, that's air conditioning water output plus construction hammering.
Then it's back up to the fuel dock store.
Round two with the coffee run.
With my second cup, I decide it's a good time to hit up Debbie.
So I wonder, is any time between now and Sunday, is there any chance you might be up for an interview?
I'm off at noon today and then I'm here Saturday. Any time you want to, that would be perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That sounds positive. I plan to come back first thing in the morning when hopefully Debbie has a little breathing room. Meanwhile, I have plenty to attend to, starting with diagramming the damn electrical system. Or at least the charging system part of it, which seems to have been challenged during the trip. But first, I need to move all the stuff I've stowed in the quarter berth, that's the one aft next to the engine compartment, which the Admiral calls the coffin, into the V berth, which is all the way forward. This so I can access the engine compartment where most of the important electrical wires pass through. But before I do that, there's something possibly even more important. There have been some funky smells in the V-berth, and they're not coming from me. So I pull up the cushions and the square plywood panel with the little finger hole in it to expose the holding tank. If I've neglected to mention this so far, I shouldn't have. One of the major things your life as a cruiser will revolve around is poop. In fact, my friend Ed Robinson's first book is called Poop, Booze, and Bikinis. And there are good reasons for that. First, you gotta poop. Everybody does it, I understand. Although there are some who seem to think theirs doesn't stink. Secondly, you can't just dump your poop in the water any old where, which means you need some kind of system to hold on to it until you're either at a marina pump out or more than 3 miles at sea. Needless to say, any leak in this system is a bad thing. Fortunately, it appears that although my holding tank is about 7/8 full, there are no signs of leakage after sloshing around a lot yesterday, coming down to Marathon. So, now I can go ahead and move stuff into the V-berth. I decide to do a little time lapse of this moving operation, which you can see in the show notes. Somehow that transitioned into working on the little video intro that you may have seen on the YouTube channel, and I got it onto my phone so I have a little prefab intro I can pop into an off-the-cuff phone video. By the time I get done with that at 4:30, I haven't exactly made any headway on tracing the electrical system. But after the last 3 days of roughing it, I figure I need to also attend to the recharging of the captain. So it's time for, you guessed it, a frozen rum runner in the pool. One of the main reasons that I stop at Marathon Marina is the pool. If you haven't tried a saltwater pool before, you're in for a treat. Saltwater is more buoyant than freshwater, which is kind of refreshing, and you don't have to have that pesky chlorine, I think. I didn't used to be a pool guy, but that was before I started frequenting Southwest Florida. Let's just say it can get pretty warm from May to September. which, now that I think about it, kind of comports with the hurricane season for some reason. Anyway, after not being a pool guy for years, I discovered that pools are actually good for cooling off. Such is the case with the pool at Marathon Marina. And being on the west side of the marina, you can enjoy a beautiful Florida Keys sunset as you look out along Seven Mile Bridge as it disappears toward Bahia Honda Key and Key West, 35 miles over the horizon. Better yet, there's even a bar right next to the pool where you can procure, say, a frozen rum runner in a plastic cup for the pool. The servers don't make it a habit of serving the pool since there's a fence in between, but just maybe if you go spend some money in the bar and tactfully broach the subject, you might be able to come to some accommodation with someone. I believe I can trace my affection for the frozen rum runner to my first visit to Sloppy Joe's in Key West. I'm not sure what's in a rum runner, but there's usually some rum involved if you're at a reputable place. And between the rum and whatever sugary mix is in it, plus the fact that it's frozen, delightfully sippable, and that Florida is often warmer than most of the U.S., well, they go down pretty smooth. The pool was still a little chilly in late February to my taste, so I didn't stay too long. After catching another beautiful key sunset, I headed back to the boat to look at the electrical system. Okay, diagramming this electrical system may be a larger job than anticipated. Maybe I'll get back to it. Instead, I throw a ribeye on the grill and find some decent champagne in the fridge. I decide to record the steak sizzling on the grill, because you just never know when you might need it. In fact, as I get ready to hit the rack and review some of the copious and haphazard audio files I've collected, I realize I should probably grab some marina sounds tomorrow while I have my audio geek hat on, and God willing, I'll interview Fuel Doc Debbie. I need that interview.
All right, this should be down to interview and interview, hopefully.
Okay, Friday morning, 0800, and I'm loaded for bear.
Warning, it's about that time.
Well, almost.
Get me a little coffee here. Let's go with Hawaiian blend again.
I've got my Zoom H4 recorder for ambience and an additional Electrovoice RE50 microphone hooked to it, in case there's a quiz later.
Testing my levels. Okay, got levels.
I've brought this rig to record Debbie. Hopefully. She already seems kind of busy.
All right, 143.
So, I'll have another coffee. By 9 o'clock, I've got two coffees in me, I have my audio gear, and two very large motor vessels come in for fuel, and one of them for a pump out. And soon, Debbie is busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, as Bob Bitchin might say.
I'm gonna bring the pump out hose around.
But after an hour and a half of me hovering around, I sit down on a bench outside the fuel dock with Debbie to record that interview.
Horrible metal to metal sound, and the guy has hit the marker.
We're starting to get some great tape, as they say, when it's time to cast off another boat.
Yeah, I'll pause for the cause.
As it turns out, it's a boat full of Sea Scouts learning how to sail with their guides. So I decide to tag along and see if I can collect some sounds.
How not to sail.
Not to sail.
How not to sail.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't sail with Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Do it.
And what could be better than warping perfectly good young minds into going cruising?
Clear, Captain.
Well, now maybe we can finish up that interview with Debbie. But, nope. Debbie is busier than a cat with puppies.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him fixed up right now. And I got customers all over here.
Finally, my hovering around pays off, and we get a break for a second.
All right, let's finish this up. I still got trash to do.
Oh, dear. I can wait till after that.
Now let's do it. What else we got?
Sweet. I'm about to have another great interview to add to my little magic kit. And I need it, because the clock is ticking on the podcast release.
Finally made it down here to the Keys, pulled in, and loved it. Fell in love with it. The water is amazing. The people are amazing. And walked in the office to pay for my slip, and they said they were hiring. I was like, well, what are you hiring for? And they said, field doc. I said, well, what does that mean? And almost 11 years later, here I am.
Oh, nice.
So after 2.5 hours, I've got the final part of my interview with Fuel Doc Debbie. Maybe. After hitting stop on my recorder, I see the little hourglass on the display, as per usual, followed by the message, couldn't write data. So, hopefully I got that second half of the interview, because Debbie has to go on a trash run. She's busier than a mosquito at a nudist colony. Now, how do I segue from nudist colony to this? Well, let's just say I appreciate our Patreon patrons more than those poor nudists appreciate calamine lotion. And I also very much appreciate these folks.
Smooth season, blue skies.
Bob had a problem. You see, Bob had a magazine. And then Bob ran into some trouble and lost his magazine, Latitudes and Attitudes. But guess what? America's number one boating lifestyle magazine is back again as Latitudes and Attitudes. Check it out today at latsats.com.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the story. The magazine that I got into cruising with, Latitudes and Attitudes, transformed into Cruising Outpost after Bob Bitchin got screwed over by a very unscrupulous fellow who shut down their offices and moved to South America. Or something like that. But now they're back as Latitudes and Attitudes, and we are super happy about that. Back at the boat, I'm hoping the recorder has actually recorded that last part of the interview, because I'm going to be needing some material pretty soon. So with some trepidation, I hit the play button on the gadget and
finally made it down here to the Keys, pulled in, and loved it. Fell in love with it. The water is amazing. The people are amazing. And
so after 450 miles, cutlass bearing and electrical weirdness, and a boat show surprise, I finally have a third interview to work into the podcast. Sometimes fortune does favor the How Not to Sailor. Which reminds me, I need to check on the old cutlass bearing screws to make sure they haven't worked their way out. And I decide I could use some sound for the intro to episode 1 I've been hearing in my head. Because I wasn't exactly focused on recording anything back then when I was diving under the boat to see if I could make this trip at all. So, I figure I'll get that now. Right after I check on the cutlass bearing. Important boat work before recording sounds, I reckon. There's some folks chatting at the next slip as I snorkel under the boat, and when I dive down to the prop shaft,
there's a line wrapped around it.
Oh no! Wow!
I hope I got a crab pot.
Thankfully, the line comes off easily.
Yeah. You probably ran over a skier, so don't worry about it.
No worries here. I've dodged a bullet on this one. A crab pot line around the prop shaft could have been catastrophic for my engine. It appears once again I've been fortunate. And I'm happy with that. But what's really going on in my mind now is whether I'll have everything together to release the first podcast episode with Bob Bitchin in just a few days. And all the things that can and probably will go wrong with the boat. Those things are what make this fella jittery. Because it turns out, buying a boat does not guarantee contentment. I'm glad not to have a catastrophic failure, but my mind has been all over the place the last couple of days, worrying about the future, what I need to do before I take off, which restaurant to eat at tonight because I don't want to pick the wrong one and regret it. I'm sure that's never happened to you, your brain doing circles, fixating on past mistakes, present choices, and future worries until
you're in f***ing marathon, dude.
Yes. Why, yes, I am. I'm in f***ing marathon. And I'm happy with that. There's an old Zen saying that goes, when walking, walk. When eating, eat. And tonight I'm going to do just that. I'm going to eat wherever I land and be in the moment. And tomorrow I'm going to head north. And whatever happens with the trip or with the podcast release, I'm going to appreciate the moment. You can't control what happens to you, but you can shape your response to it. Like Bob Bitchin says, the difference between an ordeal and an adventure is attitude. So if you have your boat, but you're kicking yourself because you haven't taken a cruise on her yet, be happy where you are. And if you can't even afford the boat of your dreams yet, well, maybe consider a more modest used one, but be happy where you are. As I'll hopefully say in the very first episode, if you're a miserable SOB on land, you'll be a miserable SOB on the water. The boat won't fix most of what ails you. So if you can be content with where you are this moment, you're in good shape. And even though I still only have 3 interviews and I'm set to launch the first podcast episode in just 5 days, I'm happy to have gotten some great audio of Fuel Doc Debbie. And I'm grateful that a stray crab pot didn't kill my trip. And even though months later I'll worry about trying to get the podcast out faster, not wanting to disappoint you because your listening means so much to me, and trying to spend more quality time with Dad, and where did I put that damn recording of me talking about the cutlass bearing? I know I can do what I can do, and I can only do my best. And I'm happy where I am. Join us next time when, yes, I do plan to make the great leap north. I'm sure I'll probably screw something up. Today, I just want to thank our lovely and talented Patreon patrons, including Captain Boomies and Mark Nicholas from the undisclosed location. And swinging onto the deck with a cutlass in hand at the last second, Mr. Dave West. You can read all about Captain Boomies in her awesome YouTube channel at hownottosail.com. And shortly, you should see a profile on my friend Mark as well. And probably Dave, too. As a matter of fact, in addition to the regular swag and perks, I'll be profiling the first 10 Patreon patrons at any level. So if you're interested in supporting the podcast, just head on over to hownottosail.com/Patreon. And I thank you. Meanwhile, keep your bottom paint on and I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
All right, yeah, trash run.
Let's see, make sure we got that, and if not, I'll bring out the bag later. The bag of doom. It looks like something on a movie set with the guy with the boom mic. Anyway, thank you, Debbie.
Oh, you're so